We got to go to the White House. The president is speaking.
Thank you very much. My fellow Americans, as president of the United States, my highest obligation is to ensure the safety and security of the American people. History has shown that the longer we ignore a threat, the more dangerous that threat becomes. For this reason, upon taking office, I've ordered a complete strategic review of our policy toward the rogue regime in Iran. That review is now complete. Today, I am announcing our strategy, along with several major steps we are taking to confront the Iranian regime's hostile actions and to ensure that Iran never, and I mean never, acquires a nuclear weapon. Our policy is based on a clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship, its sponsorship of terrorism, and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and all around the world. Iran is under the control of a fanatical regime that seized power in 1979 and forced a proud people to submit to its extremist rule. This radical regime has raided the wealth of one of the world's oldest and most vibrant nations and spread death, destruction, and chaos all around the globe. Beginning in 1979, agents of the Iranian regime illegally seized the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and held more than 60 Americans hostage during the 444 days of the crisis. The Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah twice bombed our embassy in Lebanon, once in 1983 and again in 1984. Another Iranian-supported bombing killed 241 Americans, service members they were, in their barracks in Beirut in 1983. In 1996, the regime directed another bombing of American military housing in Saudi Arabia, murdering 19 Americans in cold blood. Iranian proxies provided training to operatives who were later involved in al-Qaeda's bombing of the American embassies in Kenya, Tanzania, and 2 years later killing 224 people and wounding more than 4,000 others. The regime harbored high-level terrorists in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, including Osama bin Laden's son. In Iraq and Afghanistan, groups supported by Iran have killed hundreds of American military personnel. The Iranian dictatorship's aggression continues to this day. The regime remains the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism and provides assistance to al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Hezbollah, Hamas, and other terrorist networks. It develops, deploys, and proliferates missiles that threaten American troops and our allies. It harasses American ships and threatens freedom of navigation in the Arabian Gulf and in the Red Sea. It imprisons Americans on false charges, and it launches cyber attacks against our critical infrastructure, financial system, and military. The United States is far from the only target of the Iranian dictatorship's long campaign of bloodshed. The regime violently suppresses its own citizens. It shot unarmed student protesters in the street during the Green Revolution. This regime has fueled sectarian violence in Iraq and vicious civil wars in Yemen and Syria. In Syria, the Iranian regime has supported the atrocities of Bashar al-Assad's regime and condoned Assad's use of chemical weapons against helpless civilians, including many, many children. Given the regime's murderous past and present, we should not take lightly its sinister vision for the future. The regime's two favorite chants are death to America and death to Israel. Realizing the gravity of the situation, the United States and the United Nations Security Council sought over many years to stop Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons with a wide array of strong economic sanctions. But the previous administration lifted these sanctions just before what would have been the total collapse of the Iranian regime through the deeply controversial 2015 nuclear deal with Iran. This deal is known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA. As I have said many times, the Iran deal was one of the worst and most one-sided transactions the United States has ever entered into. The same mindset that produced this deal is responsible for years of terrible trade deals that have sacrificed so many millions of jobs in our country to the benefit of other countries. We need negotiators who will much more strongly represent America's interests. The nuclear deal threw Iran's dictatorship a political and economic lifeline, providing urgently needed relief from the intense domestic pressure the sanctions had created. It also gave the regime an immediate financial boost and over $100 billion its government could use to fund terrorism. The regime also received a massive cash settlement of $1.7 billion from the United States, a large portion of which was physically loaded onto an airplane and flown into Iran. Just imagine the sight of those huge piles of money being hauled off by the Iranians waiting at the airport for the cash. I wonder where all that money went. Worst of all, the deal allows Iran to continue developing certain elements of its nuclear program. And importantly, in just a few years, as key restrictions disappear, Iran can sprint towards a rapid nuclear weapons breakout. In other words, we got weak inspections in exchange for no more than a purely short-term and temporary delay in Iran's path to nuclear weapons. What is the purpose of a deal that, at best, only delays Iran's nuclear capability for a short period of time? This, as President of the United States, is unacceptable. In other countries, they think in terms of 100-year intervals, not just a few years at a time. The saddest part of the deal for the United States is that all of the money was paid up front, which is unheard of, rather than at the end of the deal, when they have shown they've played by the rules. But what's done is done, and that's why we are where we are. The Iranian regime has committed multiple violations of the agreement. For example, on two separate occasions, they have exceeded the limit of 130 metric tons of heavy water. Until recently, the Iranian regime has also failed to meet our expectations in its operation of advanced centrifuges. The Iranian regime has also intimidated international inspectors into not using the full inspection authorities that the agreement calls for. Iranian officials and military leaders have repeatedly claimed they will not allow inspectors onto military sites even though the international community suspects some of those sites were part of Iran's clandestine nuclear weapons program. There are also many people who believe that Iran is dealing with North Korea. I am going to instruct our intelligence agencies to do a thorough analysis and report back their findings beyond what they have already reviewed. By its own terms, the Iran deal was supposed to contribute to regional and international peace and security. And yet, while the United States adheres to our commitment under the deal, the Iranian regime continues to fuel conflict, terror, and turmoil throughout the Middle East and beyond. Importantly, Iran is not living up to the spirit of the deal. So today, in recognition of the increasing menace posed by Iran, and after extensive consultations with our allies, I am announcing a new strategy to address the full range of Iran's destructive actions. First, we will work with our allies to counter the regime's destabilizing activity and support for terrorist proxies in the region. Second, we will place additional sanctions on the regime to block their financing of terror. Third, we will address the regime's proliferation of missiles and weapons that threaten its neighbors' global trade and freedom of navigation. And finally, we will deny the regime all paths to a nuclear weapon. Today, I'm also announcing several major steps my administration has taken in pursuit of this strategy. The execution of our strategy begins with the long overdue step of imposing tough sanctions on Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. The Revolutionary Guard is the Iranian supreme leader's corrupt personal terror force and militia. It has hijacked large portions of Iran's economy and seized massive religious endowments to fund war and terror abroad. This includes arming the Syrian dictator, supplying proxies and partners with missiles and weapons to attack civilians in the region, and even plotting to bomb a popular restaurant right here in Washington, D.C. I am authorizing the Treasury Department to further sanction the entire Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps for its support for terrorism and to apply sanctions to its officials, agents, and affiliates. I urge our allies to join us in taking strong actions to curb Iran's continued dangerous and destabilizing behavior, including thorough sanctions outside the Iran deal that target the regime's ballistic missile program in support for terrorism and all of its destructive activities, of which there are many. Finally, on the grave matter of Iran's nuclear program, since the signing of the nuclear agreement, the regime's dangerous aggression has only escalated. At the same time, it has received massive sanctions relief while continuing to develop its missiles program. Iran has also entered into lucrative business contracts with other parties to the agreement. When the agreement was finalized in 2015, Congress passed the Iran Nuclear Agreement Review Act to ensure that Congress's voice would be heard on the deal. Among other conditions, this law requires the president or his designee to certify that the suspension of sanctions under the deal is appropriate and proportionate to measure and other measures taken by Iran to terminate its illicit nuclear program. Based on the factual record I have put forward, I am announcing today that we cannot and will not make this certification. We will not continue down a path whose predictable conclusion is more violence, more terror, and the very real threat of Iran's nuclear breakout. That is why I am directing my administration to work closely with Congress and our allies to address the deal's many serious flaws so that the Iranian regime can never threaten the world with nuclear weapons. These include the deal's sunset clauses that in just a few years will eliminate key restrictions on Iran's nuclear program. The flaws in the deal also include insufficient enforcement and near total silence on Iran's missile programs. Congress has already begun the work to address these problems. Key House and Senate leaders are drafting legislation that would amend the Iran Nuclear Agreement Review Act to strengthen enforcement, prevent Iran from developing an internet, this is so totally important, an intercontinental ballistic missile, and make all restrictions on Iran's nuclear activity permanent under U.S. law. So important. I support these initiatives. However, in the event we are not able to reach a solution working with Congress and our allies, then the agreement will be terminated. It is under continuous review, and our participation can be canceled by me as president at any time. As we have seen in North Korea, the longer we ignore a threat, the worse that threat becomes. It is why we are determined that the world's leading sponsor of terrorism will never obtain nuclear weapons. In this effort, we stand in total solidarity with the Iranian regime's longest suffering victims, its own people. The citizens of Iran have paid a heavy price for the violence and extremism of their leaders. The Iranian people long to, and they just are longing, to reclaim their country's proud history, its culture, its civilization, its cooperation with its neighbors. We hope that these new measures directed at the Iranian dictatorship will compel the government to reevaluate its pursuit of terror at the expense of its people. We hope that our actions today will help bring about a future of peace, stability, and prosperity in the Middle East, a future where sovereign nations respect each other and their own citizens. We pray for a future where young children, American and Iranian, Muslim, Christian, and Jewish, can grow up in a world free from violence, hatred, and terror. And until that blessed day comes, we will do what we must to keep America safe. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. You've been listening to the president leading up to the decertification of the 2015 nuclear deal. And it's not about the nuclear deal that they weren't compliant, obviously, because the other countries that were involved in the deal said they were compliant. It's the rest of the deal, the other stuff that he said he doesn't want to put up with, which is how they're destabilizing the Middle East, the fact that they got a blank load of money to do it with, the fact that they support Hezbollah, and that their vision, he called it a sinister vision, for the future, death to America, death to Israel. So he wants them to be compliant with a deal that's all-encompassing or more encompassing than this past deal, which he's always called the worst deal in the history of the United States negotiating. So he didn't like that we paid the money up front or returned their money to them up front, and that they are, like he said, they're moving forward with a deal that once it expires, they can amp up their nuclear arsenals. But he said they're going to counter the regime's destabilizing activity in the Middle East. He did say additional sanctions, and everything I read leading up to the speech said he wasn't going to ask for additional sanctions, but he did. The missile program, they want more information on their missile program, ballistic missile program, and they want to deny the regime all possibility of getting to a nuclear Iran, and they're going to call the Islamic Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization, and they're going to authorize sanctioning there of anybody dealing with them, the agents, and anybody has to deal that deals with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. So we knew this was coming. We knew the decertification was coming. Now the question is, and I'd love to hear your take, 800-222-5222. What's Iran's take going to be, the hardliners? How are they going to react? How are our allies going to react? Apparently, European allies have been lobbying the administration for a while not to abandon the nuclear deal. And what he went for today was kind of a middle ground in a sense, imposing tougher restrictions while still not walking away totally from the deal. It's been said that Rex Tillerson has been spending weeks on the phone informing the other signatories of his decision, and he's been getting, from what I'm reading, a pretty cool reception, that nobody was that welcoming from the other countries involved. And this is going to drive, potentially, the Europeans into a position that is a common position with Russia and China, possibly against the USA. So, you know, how successful was Tillerson and you know, lobbying our allies who are saying, "You please stay in the deal"? How are they going to react? I don't know how much information we have at this point as far as they're going to react. I'm sure, like I said, Tillerson's been talking to them, but what are they going to do? The reason it happened right now, you got to certify every 90 days that they're in compliance with the deal, and the deadline was Sunday, which is why he did the deal now. But you got Britain, you got France, you got Germany, you got Russia, China, the European Union, along with Iran, wondering what's going to happen next, how they're going to process this. So what they did, the deal, in exchange for getting rid of most of the centrifuges, disabling their plutonium-producing heavy water reactor, and agreeing to regular United Nations inspections, they got a lot of sanctions relief. They got readmittance to the international banking system. They got permission to trade on the oil market, which freed up a lot of money, and, of course, the unfreezing of billions of dollars in overseas assets. So he's not wrong in the sense that they got a lot of the money, if not most of the money, up front. But he's talking about their broader behavior and that he wants that taken into consideration, not just the agreement to halt the efforts to produce nuclear weapons. That was just part of it. So he's talking about Iran's work to develop the ballistic missiles, its support for the armed militants in Yemen and Syria and other countries, issues that were never part of this agreement. Now, as a businessman, he's using this as leverage. He's saying this agreement, I'm not going to recertify because of all the other issues that nobody's talking about that we have to get in line. Will it work? Boy, this one's above my pay grade. I've talked to experts all along who said, number one, the suspicion is that North Korea is going to see this and say, well, if Iran was compliant and we're not honoring the deal, why should we enter into any kind of diplomacy with the United States, because they can't be trusted? That's number one. Number two, some experts are saying Iran has just waited for this, saying, look, the United States is not compliant in the deal. Make us look like the bad guys and try to rally the troops on their behalf. The big issue is going to see how, like I said, the other countries, Britain, France, Germany, Russia, China, how they're going to react. I'm assuming that our State Department had their ducks in a row. I'm assuming. And you know what the word assume is, like you're an ass out of you or me. So I assume they've had conversations, ongoing conversations. They didn't just drop this on the people who signed the deal with us because they were pressured into signing that deal. They all cooperated. They all wanted to benefit from this. But this can be spun a lot of different ways. So our partners in this deal are going to be important, not only for stability and our protection and security, but for economic reasons. What are they going to do? What are they going to do as far as Iran and sanctioning? So it goes to Congress, has to decide now. We've talked to the allies. The Ayatollah is going to respond. Iran is going to make a response. They've already made noises about this. But this is a bigger issue. It's about Syria. It's about Hezbollah. It's about Iran's vision for the future and the fact that the president, and again, not wrong, Iran is a bad actor. And they do not have our well-being in their sights. That's not what they're looking for. So, and look who they're arming and look at what they're doing. Will this work as a negotiating tactic? They said they won't come back to the negotiating table and renegotiate this deal. But is there a sense, maybe in back channel negotiations, that there could be some benefit. Usually what you want is you want your diplomacy lined up so you know what you're going to get when you make a speech like this so you can claim some kind of victory. Has this administration done that? I don't know. I don't know what the expectation is. I don't know what promises they got. So because this all came about pretty fast, but the president now can claim two things today, that he did what he said he was going to do as far as the Iran nuclear deal, even though he said he was going to walk away, not exactly walking away from the deal, and then health care, saying, you know what, I'm going to sign an executive action because Congress isn't able to do this, so I'm going to force the issue. Because of that, at 11 o'clock today, we have Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal on with us, editor-in-chief of Kaiser Health News, to say, all right, tell me about this health care deal now. It doesn't matter if Democrat, Republican, Independent, how's this going to affect all of us? Are the markets really falling apart? Is this going to help us crossing state lines to buy our insurance? Is it going to be any cheaper? What's the reality of this? What's it going to look like down the road, 3 months to 6 months, for all of us? So we'll address that issue at 11. If you'd like to talk about the Iran issue, again, President not wrong in saying that Iran needs to do more in other areas that weren't involved in the deal, that should have been involved in the deal, and he's going to try and use the decertification of the deal by the United States as a bargaining chip and saying, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not buying into it. We're not going to buy into the terror. So what we're going to do is we are going to ramp up some sanctions again, and we're going to look at the guard, the Ayatollah's personal army, their personal force, the Revolutionary Guard, as a terror group. We will probably know very soon how the other countries are weighing in. So I'm waiting to hear the response from leaders of other countries. What's your response to this? Is he doing the right thing, or is he putting us in jeopardy? 800-222-5222. Big day. Lots of moving parts. Lots happening. Also, you got a senator who's ill, and they need this guy for health care votes. Will he be back in time? The president also went after fake news yet again this morning in an interesting way. And we do have, of course, what's a day without Harvey Weinstein updates. We got more information on the Harvey Weinstein thing and lots of other news we want to tackle. I do want to mention also, we still have the news quiz coming up next hour for evening with Brad Paisley, and it is selling out quickly. It's to honor the Tom Shark MS Hope Foundation and hopefully send a ton of money to them to battle MS. It's brought to you by Sit and Sleep. They'll beat anyone's advertised price. Your mattress is free. Thank you, Larry. Also, tickets to the Zac Brown Band when I tell you to call for the news quiz. But right now we're talking about this. This is a big move. It was anticipated that he was going to vilify Iran over the nuke deal and non-nuke issues, and he did just that. And he didn't stray much from the script, if at all. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues with your calls right after this. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. The phone number, 800-222-5222. Again, some Brad Paisley tickets. They're going to sell out in moments, but you can see him close up and personal for a good thing to benefit the Tom Sherrick MS Hope Foundation. So we'll do that next hour. So the president just gave his speech on decertifying Iran. The question is, I guess the overall question, how do we benefit, and does this make the world more secure? Does it make the United States more secure? Tillerson, Mattis, they all said we should remain in the deal and urged him to. Our allies in the deal urged him to remain in the deal. However, he's not wrong as far as Iran and the bad actors that they promote. Let's go to Arthur in Los Angeles. Arthur, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning.
How you doing, Peter? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to say that never in my life have I ever thought that Israel would have so much power and influence over our country and our decision-making. But there it is, right in front of your face. That wasn't President Trump's speech. That was Benjamin Netanyahu's speech. That was Jared Kushner's speech.
Well, let me ask you a question. So Israel, and is that a good thing or a bad thing?
What, Israel?
That Israel has major input into this because it impacts Israel in a big way.
No. It's a terrible thing because Israel gave us falsified intelligence on Iraq.
Hold on. Well, let me ask you this. So without Israel, you got a pan-Arab continent. Without Israel, you don't have a democracy over there. Without Israel, we don't get intel. Without Israel, we don't have basically a base over there. So in other words, Israel is not how important is Israel?
But you don't sell yourself out because of that.
I don't know. By the way, the Netanyahu.
Hold on.
I don't mean to talk over you, but I have to make a comment. the word out in diplomacy was that Israel was actually behind the scenes saying stay in the deal, the destabilizing, the opportunity to get out of this deal may not have been a good one. So you're saying that Netanyahu, and you should look it up, Netanyahu is controlling this, and this is our move because Israel is determining it. Israel's important to us because of their geography, because they are a democracy in the Middle East, and because you would have a pan-Arab continent without Israel over there. And then that would mean what for us? Our security, our stability, helping shut down centrifuges, getting all kinds of intel and technology out of Israel. So I don't know. I don't think that Israel's controlling this at all, but you have to look to Israel as an important ally of ours, and strategically and geographically a really important ally to us. So looking out for their interests is not necessarily a bad thing, but I don't know that that was the only reason. I don't know that they were the ones who determined this deal. All right, Talk Radio 790 KBC, 800-222-5222 is the phone number. You want to make a comment? Give me a call.
KABC News is live and local at 1029. I'm Jeff Whittle, and President Trump just announced that he will not certify that Iran is complying with the nuclear deal and will do everything possible to deny Iran all paths to a nuclear weapon.
The execution of our strategy begins with the long overdue step of imposing tough sanctions on Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. The Revolutionary Guard is the Iranian Supreme Leader's corrupt personal terror force and militia.
Now, the president did not terminate the Iran nuclear deal, but he said he could at any time, and he asked Congress and our allies to address the flaws in that agreement. The death toll from the devastating wildfires in Northern California has risen to 31. The Tubbs Fire, which has charred nearly 35,000 acres in Sonoma and Napa counties, is now 25% contained today, but the winds are expected to pick up again. However, firefighters have been making some headway, according to Napa County Fire Chief Barry Bierman.
Great progress is being made here. The resources out there are doing an amazing job. They're tired, they're working hard, but we're making great progress on this incident.
Now, the blaze is blamed on 17 of the 31 total deaths in Sonoma County alone, where 2,800 homes and businesses have been destroyed. Another 700 structures have been destroyed in the rest of wine country. The Canyon 2 fire in Orange County, now 65% contained. It's black at 9,200 acres, but estimates of full containment have been pushed back now from tomorrow until next Tuesday. The southbound lanes of the 241 toll road, which had been closed since Monday, reopened this morning, but the northbound 241 remains shut down. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Cubs nip the Nationals 9-8 to win their divisional series, so Chicago will visit the Dodgers for games 1 and 2 of the National League Championship Series tomorrow and Sunday at Chavez Ravine. Now, the Astros will host the Yankees at 5 p.m. today in game 1 of the ALCS. Philadelphia defeated Carolina 28-23 on Thursday Night Football. Eagles improved to 5-1. Panthers fall to 4-2. Clippers beat the Kings 104-89 in exhibition basketball, and the Clips will host the Lakers tonight at Staples. That's sports on the home of the L.A. Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more. Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1032. Your 790 KABC market check, and the S&P 500 up about 6 points in mid-morning trading. The NASDAQ, that's positive by 22 points at the moment. And checking the Dow, it's up 48 points. So looking like a good way to wrap up the week on Wall Street. No Friday the 13th fears among investors anyway. KABC SoCal weather. Sunny skies today. Highs low 70s near the coast. Low 80s downtown. Could hit the mid 80s in the valleys with that red flag fire warning for the local mountains and San Fernando and Santa Clarita valleys through 10 a.m. tomorrow because of the gusty winds and high fire danger. Right now 66 in Van Nuys. 68 in Huntington Beach at 69 in downtown Los Angeles. Catch up on the day's top local news with the resources of the OC Register, LA Daily News, and 790 KABC. It's the catch-up live from the OC Register with Brian Kaye tonight at 6:30. I'm Jeff Whittle, KABC News. Don't have time for a sit-down meal? Not a problem. Stop by Applebee's to pick it up. Order online, drive up, and they'll bring your food right out to your car. It's that simple. Order online and pick it up with Applebee's Carside to Go. KABC News, sponsored by Applebee's.
The phone lines are open now.
Right now?
Right now.
At 800-ABC-KABC. That's
800-222-5222.
Talk Radio 790-KABC. Peter Tillman at 10 continues. Just as an aside, because it's a heavy day, we're talking about decertifying the nuclear deal. We're talking about health care, which we will talk about in depth so you know how you're affected at 11 o'clock. But I got to tell you, get up every day and start taping Megyn Kelly. It's an A. It's like an auto. It's like the worst accident you could ever imagine, and it's so entertaining. So I'm waiting for the president to come out and decertify, and that's a big deal. I'm waiting to hear about our health care. And here you have Megyn Kelly, who was on Fox, who interviewed Putin, who understands the world issues. So with all of that happening today, I'm walking by the TV and I see Megyn Kelly, and it's how to deal with a bitchy waiter. They had a waiter on who was actually bitchy. And that you should go visit the restaurant first before you actually have dinner there to see if it's noisy. And I'm thinking, yeah, I have all the people have the time to go to the restaurant twice, once when you eat there and once to check it out. And then she did another segment where she was sitting in an airline seat, and the tip was, don't, if your food drops on the tray table, don't eat it because of bacteria, because we've never heard that one before. And then menu tricks. I was dying. I was howling. They have really made her. It looks like she went into the Wayback Machine and that they got like an Amish housewife to do this show. I've never seen any. The woman should be talking about all the stuff we're talking about in her own way, in her own style, because that's who she is. Instead, I think she died and came out of a pod as the box that Megyn Kelly came in. I've never seen anything like it. It is really stunning, this makeover they've done to her. And as it's yesterday, if you didn't hear, her show was on in the evening, basically, with 50-plus males watching it. So they can't follow here because they're not even an available audience. And the daytime audience is urban and women. So I don't know why they picked her for $18 million if they were just going to change who she is and do those subjects. It's amazing. I was talking to engineer Steve yesterday and you on the air about Mandalay Bay and why there's all of this questioning about the timeline. Here you go, engineer Steve. Mandalay Bay management now says the Las Vegas rampage began within 40 seconds after the security guard reported the shooting. You know why the timeline has changed? What I said yesterday, liability. This way, if you're going to sue the hotel because they could have stopped the shooting, because if you put a stopwatch on it, time 6 minutes and see how long that takes. Every lawyer in the world would take that case and say, let me sit in court right now, start the stopwatch, and see how long 6 minutes is. And this hotel, with security and procedures, didn't stop this guy from shooting. Now they're saying, no. Police are wrong. It wasn't 6 minutes. It was 40 seconds. And they're not saying it was 40 seconds from the time the guard was shot. They're saying it was 40 seconds from the time they called it in. So that's what's happening with the juggling of the timeline. The police are still saying, the assistant sheriff is still saying that their timeline is correct. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this thing moves forward. But as soon as I saw they're playing with timelines, I thought this is not about anything other than a hotel trying to protect themselves from liability and being sued and saying that they were completely responsible in what they did. And their response was by the book. So it conflicts with previous police statements and radio transmissions, which said that officers searched different floors before locating Mr. Paddock on the 32nd floor. The police chief also briefly said officers were surprised to discover the security guard had been shot when they finally arrived during the third floor at 10:17. So, again, new information coming out of Vegas with this horrific tragedy. But and the security guard was supposed to give, Stephen Paddock was supposed to give all these interviews today and last night. He was supposed to be on Sean Hannity, and he didn't show up. They don't, no explanation of where he is. He's represented by the International Union Security Police and Fire Professionals of America. They didn't respond to requests for comment from Fox News earlier in the week. But little known about the security guard, Mr. Campos. They have a couple of pictures out. I guess maybe with all these conflicting timelines, they didn't want him to start doing massive interviews. But he had a bunch lined up, and he disappeared. They don't know where he is. He had Thursday night, five television interviews, including one on Fox, and the cameras are about to roll. The media was all gathered, and Campos bolted, and as of this morning, not clear where he is or why he didn't give the interview. So more intrigue surrounding the timeline in Vegas and why there's this discrepancy between the hotels, the initial reporting, and the reporting that came out the other day as far as the 6 minutes, the fact that we thought the security guard was shot at a different time and stopped the shooting. So lots of questions still unanswered, and his motive, of course, the shooter's motive still unanswered. So there you go. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming up, I do want to talk about Harvey Weinstein for a second, because there's new information about Mr. Weinstein and his contract, the contract that he had with the company, which begs questions that we started talking about yesterday, which is, are we really believing that the brother and the COO and everybody else had no idea? His brother Bob was shocked at the allegations, stunned by the allegations. More Hollywood stars are coming out and talking, including Quentin Tarantino, who spoke, but in a weird format. And I'll tell you what he said. And then Amazon suspends their studio head for this explosive report that just came out about alleged sexual harassment. So he was Weinsteining people. So we'll talk about that next. I'll give you some new information that you need to know about Harvey Weinstein, his contract, which is really unusual. And maybe we should get an attorney on down the road to answer a question about how his contract was structured, because it really is strange. I'll tell you why he's strange when we return. Talk Radio 790 KBC, the phone number 800-222-5222, and we'll be right back. Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Till the 10 continues, and I'll give you a chance to see Brad Paisley up close and personal. We do the news quiz, of course, Zach Brown Band, Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal, one of the most informed people that I talk to. She is not only a medical doctor, but she's a journalist, and she wrote a great book, and I've had her on before, An American Sickness, How Healthcare Became Big Business and How You Can Take It Back. I want to know what the president's plan is with healthcare, with getting rid of the subsidies. Because getting rid of something or criticizing something is not a win. It's getting rid of something. What are we going to be left with after the fact? And I don't care. This is not a Republican or a Democrat thing. This is Congress kicking the ball around and not really addressing the issue, like big pharma. And there are questions about being able to cross state lines. People are like, oh, cross state lines. You can buy policies cross state lines. Yeah. That's not a magical recipe for success, because if an insurance company is not set up in that state, it costs them money to gear up, to get the infrastructure, to apply, to get in compliance with those state rules. And many of them won't want to go in those states. They'll just go to the cheapest states with the loosest rules where they can make the most money, because that's what the insurance companies don't want to spend money. They want to make money. And they're lobbying like crazy. So Republicans and Democrats alike, they're getting reelected with money from Big Pharma, with money from the union. So you think they're looking out for us? I'm curious to find out from her take on, is this really going to be better for us? And in what way is it going to be better? And how is it going to be better? Because I'm reading stuff that looks like the costs are going to go up, which is not what we were promised. And crossing state lines is not going to help. So what's the goal? Was the goal here that the president wanted to shake things up because he couldn't get the Republicans to do a health plan in a timely manner, or he couldn't get them to work with the Democrats and reach across the aisle? Is that what this is about, that I'm going to shake up the market and I'm going to create some kind of crisis so that they're forced to come up with a deal? So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Harvey Weinstein is back in the news, too. Apparently, he has a contract with his company that's an unusual contract, and I'll tell you what's in it right after this. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
When a single mom goes out on a date with somebody new.
Talk Radio 790 KBC. And of course, Brad Paisley. Pretty exciting. Going to be at the Savant Theater, and not in a 50,000-seat stadium. And you're going to get to see him up close and personal if you call and we do the news quiz. So Harvey Weinstein's contract, it's come to light that in his contract, his employment contract 2015, it leaves room for misconduct and sexual harassment. I'm going to go to Drew, my boss, and say, can you put that, insert that in my contract? The contract states that if Weinstein treats someone improperly in violation of the company's code of conduct, what happens? He's got to reimburse the company for any settlement it pays and pay the company liquidated damages starting at $250,000 for the first instance and rising to $1 million for the fourth instance and any after that. So what it's saying is, hey, you did something wrong, you got to pay. Oh, the fourth time you really got to pay. The 11th time, It's not saying we're terminating you. It's allowing him to do stuff that's against the code of conduct. I've never heard of that one before. He really is powerful. The contract states that the payoff cures the misconduct, meaning that no further action is taken. Wow. So really, Bob Weinstein, you had no idea that your brother was doing stuff, but you built that into his contract where he could do stuff repeatedly, and all he has to do is pay the company back? I've never, if you've heard of that before, or if you can negotiate one of those, come get my contract. 800-222-5222. And other actresses are now coming out and saying he did stuff, and it seems to be that pattern of answering the door in the robe and then watch me shower. And there's another allegation, by the way, that came out today, that Steven Seagal does the exact same thing, that an actress went for an audition with Steven Seagal. How exciting that must be to actually get a role in a Steven Seagal movie. It's like working with a young Olivier. And because she wouldn't do what he wanted, she got a bit part in the role in the movie, but not the lead in the movie. And again, he answered the door in his bathrobe, and it was it's like the same. I guess I didn't get the rule book on. I got to go out and get a bathrobe, and you ask for massages, and would you like to see me shower? So apparently Steven Seagal's in it, and Amazon just suspended their studio head, Roy Price, after a report just came out alleging sexual harassment there, that he apparently made harassing comments to the producer of the Amazon show, The Man in the High Castle. And you should see the allegations. I can't say them on the air because it talks about all kinds of different sex and stuff that he asked for. So he's been suspended. Talk Radio 790 KBC.